Good morning to each and every one of you. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for that song, The Love of God. That is a great and important subject, and we could talk about that for a very long time. Lord willing, we'll just scrape a little surface of it today. I was thinking as we were singing that song, 1 Corinthians 13 says in verse 8, that charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So, as we had been talking about in recently going teaching through Ephesians here about different gifts and things, different abilities in the church, they're all good, but Paul says that I will show to you a more excellent way. Those gifts will all cease someday when there's no longer a need for that, but love will always endure and will always be. And what a blessing when we reach that heavenly shore and we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever and in His love. So, I would like to, again, teach in the book of Ephesians here, chapter 5, Lord willing. The last time we talked about the new man, part 1, and this is sort of a continuation of that, the new man, part 2. I'd actually like to give it a subtitle, Mimicking Christ. Mimicking Christ. Let me just give you a little bit of an overview or a recap of the last message, the New Man Part 1 from Ephesians 4. So we talked about the old man and the darkness. Those things are death. The end of those things is death, and they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And then we talked about the new man. Paul talks about how we used to be in darkness and how we are now to put that off and to walk in the newness of Christ. And in verse 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we went down through these verses, and just very practical teaching on living out the new man and living in Christ. We talked about being angry and sinning not giving place to the devil, not stealing, but laboring with our hands that we might have to give to those that need. No corrupt communication from out of our mouth, but to speak good things that are edifying. And we went down through here and just talked a lot about these practical thoughts here. And so this is sort of a continuation in going into chapter 5, verse 1. Before we start reading that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to gather this morning to worship you with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we desire to glorify you in all that we do. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, as we open up your word, I do pray that you would teach us, Father, that you would show us how to live for you. Lord, I pray that you would just use my lips to teach your word here, Father. Help me to just be yielded to you and to your spirit, Father. Teach all of us, I pray, and bless your word this morning. Bless our gathering together and bless our congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we read this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This word followers, it simply means imitators. or it comes from the Greek word mimete, which is where we get our English word mimic, to mimic, or to imitate. So we are to mimic or imitate Christ and to model our lives after Him as dear children. And as I was thinking of this, as dear children, think of children imitating their parents. Children are a reflection of their parents' character, or also you could look at it as a teacher setting. We as children are a reflection of our parents' character. And so if you think of children imitating their parents, as he talks about here, being imitators of God as dear children, as his children. So children imitate their parents in lots of different ways. They learn things from their parents. Their parents teach them how to do things, simple things, whatever. And you will see children growing up and wanting to be like their parents. They will maybe wear their clothes or wear their shoes or whatever it might be. They mimic their parents in lots of ways. And so for us to be followers or imitators of God, first we must be his children. Amen? So to be his children, John 1, verses 12 and 13 says that, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So, if we receive him and believe on him, he gives us the power to become the sons of God. And we become his children. And when we become his children, we are imitators of God or mimickers of God and Christ. The Webster's 1828 dictionary gives this definition of followers: one that takes another as his guide in doctrines, opinions, or example. One who receives the opinions and imitates the example of another, an adherent or an imitator. And that is what Paul is encouraging us to do, is to, as a child of God, become an imitator or a mimicker of Christ and God. And then he shows us how to do that. If we move on into the next verses all the way down through verse 21, Paul lays out very practically how to do that and also how not to do that. He explains what is and what is not appropriate imitating behavior for us as the children of God down through these next 21 verses. And Lord willing, we would like to cover down through those this morning and talk about them. And in verse 3, he says, "as becometh saints." So as we are the children of God, imitating him, following him, as becometh saints, how we are maturing and growing and bearing fruit and becoming saints. These are very practical words for us, things to do and things not to do. So in verse 2, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." And this is I think we could talk for a very long time just about these few words here. Walk in love. The love here is the agape love, the Greek word agape, which indicates benevolence or giving of ourselves. "As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself," there we have it, "hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And Jesus did just that. He laid down his life for us. In Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How much did Jesus give? He gave all. Amen? He gave all. When he gave his life upon the cross, he gave all that he had. So if we are to imitate Christ or mimic Christ and walk in love as he hath also loved us, how much should we give of ourselves for each other? 50%? 75%? Or 100%? That's a challenge for me. Very much a challenge. If Christ gave all, and we are to mimic him and follow him and walk in love as he had loved us and given himself for us, how much should we give of ourselves for one another? I believe the answer is all. In 1 John 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There it is. There's our answer. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren if we are to mimic Christ and follow him. A number of years ago, a young man asked me a question. And as I was pondering over this, I thought back over that. And his question was simply this. He was from a conservative church. And he said, is love a choice that we make? And he said, let me clarify a little bit. What I mean by that is we are encouraged or taught that love is a choice. You choose to love God, you choose to love others. And if you're not loving, you simply need to choose to do that. Is that how it works? Or does love come from, should it come naturally? And as I pondered his question for a moment, my answer became clear. And I thought, well, first of all, love comes from God. In 1 John 4, it tells us clearly that love is of God and that God is love. He is the very essence or the source of love. And so I thought, well, first of all, you have to make sure that you have God's love first. We do make a choice to receive the love of God, to receive salvation. But then after that, it's not really a choice, but it is a command that we love one another, right? Amen. So in a sense, it sort of is a choice. It's a choice to accept the love of God, but it is not a choice that we love one another. That is a command of Christ. And love is actually the fulfilling of the law. In Romans 13, verse 8, love is the fulfilling of the law. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And in Matthew 22, I'm going to read a couple verses there. When Jesus was asked the question, Matthew 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. He was asking Jesus this question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything the prophets and the law taught comes down to this, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's why I believe the love of God is such a great and important subject. And I believe we need to hear more of that. I think we should hear more of that coming across our pulpits. But we also need to realize what it is. I know, I think in today's day and age, a lot of our thinking of love has been watered down a lot. Maybe it's infatuation. But the love of God is a giving. It is a sacrificial love, benevolence. It is a giving of ourselves. And it's not always easy. But love will always move us to action. True love will always move us to action. It is not something that we can just sit around and say, we love, and then do nothing. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love will always move us to action. And love shows the world that we are his disciples. Listen to this verse in John 13. A new commandment I give unto you. Oh, here's the commandment to love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So this is not just, I like you, I feel good about you. It says that ye love one another as I have loved you. Remember, walk in love as Christ hath loved us. How did he love us? He gave all. So the new commandment is that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we are showing the world that we are Christ's followers when we love one another as Christ loved us. When the world sees us giving of ourselves to each other, that's a powerful testimony. And listen to this verse in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So when we love the brethren, when we love one another as Christ has loved us, it gives us confidence that we have passed from death unto life. So if you wonder where you are spiritually, evaluate your life to see if you are loving others as Christ loved you. A sacrificial love, giving all, surrendering our life to Christ and to each other. Very, very important. But I need to keep moving. We'll go on down through these next few verses here. Paul is now bringing out some things that we ought not to, that are not acceptable behavior as imitating Christ. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, Paul makes it very clear here that these things should not be named among us as becometh saints. This is inappropriate imitating Christ, inappropriate behavior as we imitate Christ or mimic Christ. And if we back up to verse 19 there in Ephesians 4, he talks about who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learnt Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, which is what we're talking about this morning. That is not how we have learned Christ. Those things are not to be named among us as becometh saints. Now, I'd like to just go over them a little bit here. The first one he mentions is fornication. I believe we all know what that is. That's any sexual activities outside of a one-man, one-woman, God-instituted marriage. The next one is uncleanness. I think that one can include a lot of different things. My thought was to look at the opposite, anything impure, anything that is not pure. That can be thoughts, actions, desires, motives, lack of moral integrity. Anything that is not pure can be put in this category of uncleanness. You know, when you think of pure, I had to think of when you go to the store and you buy a bottle of pure maple syrup. That's what it is. It's pure maple syrup. It's not mixed with something else. It is not unclean. It is pure, just maple syrup. And in the same way, the Lord wants us to be pure before him, just serving him and not other gods, to be clean for him and not mixed with other things or tainted with the world. I had to think of Brother David's message of drinking of the cup of God and the cup of the devils last Sunday. We cannot mix those. It is impure. We just drink from the cup of God that is pure and clean, just. And so, anything that is not pure or a single eye serving God, we cannot partake of the world and of the Lord. We cannot be in the two kingdoms. We cannot live with the old man and the new. They do not mix. That is not pure. And so uncleanness could encompass all anything that is not pure and not clean before God. The next one is covetousness. That is simply a greedy desire to have more. A greedy desire to have more. Or avarice, which would mean a desire for worldly fame and wealth. And it is interesting to me that he puts that in there, right in that category with that, because that's something we don't hear a lot about. Covetousness. A desire to have more or things. And then he says in verse 5 that the covetous man who is an idolater. An idolater is one that worships idols or images or anything made by hands which is not of God. So he's basically saying here that the covetous man is an idolater. So when we are covetous and longing for things, then we are worshiping those things and we are an idolater, is what he's saying here. And it's interesting that this uncleanness is right there alongside with that. I see the same thing up there in verse 19. He says to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're right side by side there. It is the idea of mixing unclean stuff with clean, not being pure before God. It is a desire for the world and trying to partake of the world and living in God's kingdom. It does not work. The Lord wants us to be pure before him and not living in idolatry, not desiring worldly things, but to seek after him and the things which are above. And then in verse 4, he talks about also some other things here that should not be named among us. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And I looked up those a little bit. They're fairly straightforward. Some of those words we don't really use that much nowadays. But filthiness is simply shamefulness or obscenity. He says that our talk should not be filthiness. And then foolish talking simply means silly talk or buffoonery. And then jesting just simply means joking or talking for diversion or merriment. In other words, taking a conversation a different way or just merriment, just talking about for funny things. And so I was really struck with these thoughts, and he says that they are not convenient, which simply means fitting or appropriate. But rather, now he says what we should rather do. We should not talk filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. They're not fitting. But rather, he gives the other side of the coin here, giving of thanks. And my mind went to Matthew 12. Let me read a couple verses there in Matthew 12. I believe we do well to consider our speech, the things that we talk about. In Matthew 12, verse 34, these are Jesus' words. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is in our heart is what we're going to be speaking about. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what is our speech like? We will speak the things of our heart. I was challenged with that. So neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not fitting or appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. And Lord willing, as we move on down through here, I'd like to touch a little more on that giving of thanks as we move down through a couple of verses. And Brother Elton already shared that this morning, being a thankful people. I was very blessed by that. So as we move on down, I'd like to cover that a little bit more in depth. But we'll move on. Now, notice that in these things that he is not talking about those who have done those things but are doing them. He says that we should not have those things named among us. And he talks about that how a whoremonger, an unclean person, a covetous man who is an idolater, it is a current idea of doing those things. He's not saying that those that have done those things. And what I mean by that is, let me turn to Colossians 3:5, and there's a couple of verses there that help see that. Colossians 3:5 is very similar wording to what we just covered here. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Very similar. For which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. This is the verse I wanted to get to. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. And he lists some more here. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what we're talking about, putting off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are mimicking Christ after the image of him that created him. So we used to be these things, but we are no longer. We are not living in those any longer. So I just wanted to make that point. And have put on the new man. Now, we'll move on down through here. In verses 9 and 10. Oh, I'm sorry, let me back up to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and walk as children of light. We used to be those things, but now we are no more. We are now light in the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord? Let me read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There is loving and giving ourselves to one another. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God, loving God, giving ourselves to Him and to one another as He loved us. And then verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I see, as we love God and love each other and give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that's our reasonable service. And as we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. It is by giving ourselves to the Lord and mimicking Him, following Him, imitating Him, reading of His Word. And in that way, we can prove what is that acceptable will of God. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, he wants us, as we are mimicking Christ, to reprove the works of darkness, have no fellowship or connection with them, but to reprove them. And that is exactly what Jesus did. When he was here on this earth, he rebuked darkness. Everywhere he went, he was light. He rebuked the darkness. In John 3, verse 19, John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That's Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so if we are mimicking Christ, Christ is the light come into this world, and as he reproved darkness, we are to do the same, to reprove the works of darkness, and to have no fellowship with them. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And so we are, as we are mimicking Christ or imitating Christ, we are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without and redeem the time, and to let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we might know how to answer every man. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, like we just covered a few moments ago from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when we give ourselves to the Lord and to each other, and we are mimicking Christ, then we know what is acceptable, the things that are approved, and knowing what the will of the Lord is. He gives us direction when we are mimicking Him, looking unto Him, looking in His Word, and following Him, imitating Him. And in verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So here he gives a two sides of the coin idea. Be not drunk with wine that is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you want excess, you can have excess of the Spirit, right? There's no limit to the Spirit of God. We are to follow after Christ and to do His will, and there's no limit to that. But he says, be not drunk with wine that is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, rather. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do we find ourselves doing that? I was challenged with this thought. You know, in our work or our everyday activities, wherever we are, do we find ourselves having joy and just talking to ourselves with a Bible verse or a song or singing in our heart and just being joyful? And in verse 20, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we a thankful people? Brother Elton shared that this morning, and I was challenged with that thought. Are we a thankful people? Are we always giving thanks for all things? It doesn't say just the good things, but it says all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says these words, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by Him therefore, that's Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Are we continually being thankful and giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Even when things are not going the way we think they should, are we giving thanks? Are we thankful? And just this morning, as your brother shared, I appreciated all of you that shared, that brought an offering up here and gave praise to the Lord. Thank you for that. I was blessed with that. Are we bringing sacrifices of praise to God continually and having thankful hearts and thanking Him in all things or for all things? Just simple things. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for this gathering together. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for providing all of our needs, whatever it might be. May we be a thankful people. And always thank God for all things. I was encouraged with that and challenged. And I trust that we can all be encouraged to be a thankful people. In Romans 1, I'd like to read a verse of the example of an unthankful people. Romans 1, verse 21. This is talking about God's wrath against the ungodliness. And if you read in verse 21 here, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then it reads on down through there how God gave them over to reprobate mind and vile affections. But it started because they did not glorify God as God, and neither were thankful. I believe a thankful heart will go a long way. If we're unthankful people, that will lead us down a wrong path. Let us be thankful at all times for all things, and to give thanks to the Lord. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How does this look? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So I see an aspect of humility as we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Again, lowliness of mind, humility, that we would esteem each other better or higher than ourselves, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I had to think back in Ephesians 4, where we talked about the different gifts as a body, our different abilities, and everyone supplying their part, back in Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so this submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God, here it talks about in love, how that we all give our own abilities and part to one another and esteem each other higher than ourselves. And this is all to be done in the love of God. And it is to bring us to the unity of the faith, a perfect man to maturity, like we talked about, and to bring us to of a full age to maturity and to fruit bearing. And so this is all part of this mimicking Christ, is to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God and in love, as Christ has loved us. And so my encouragement this morning is just that we would be children of God, and that we would mimic and imitate God as dear children, and that we would reflect His character, walk in His ways, and imitate Him, and to give ourselves to Him and to others as He has given His life to us. And in that way, to serve Him and to serve one another. So that's all that I have to share this morning, but I just want to encourage us in that we would serve one another all the days of our life. And be mimickers of Christ, imitators of Christ. God bless you all.